Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 199 of the Beyond 90 podcast. We're nearly at a milestone. Eric Subihana here with Emma Burke, Majella Card, and Dell Roots. Stay tuned for Matilda's news, Dub All Stars news, FA Cup final news, and a lot more. Yeah, that actually tickled me that we're nearly at episode 200. And yeah, thanks to all of our supporters for driving us to keep producing this wonderful podcast. Firstly, time to check in with my co-host, Emma. How have you been with your first dub-free weekend of the year?
Bit bored, not gonna
Back.
lie.
Yeah.
I don't like it when the games are not in my time zone. Makes me really sad because I also am gainfully employed, so I can't be staying up until stupid o'clock to watch silly little football games. So if someone could rectify that, and by rectify that, and someone, I mean me watching the NPL Victoria because it is right there, I would feel a lot better. So I'm going to start doing that.
Oh, good to hear. We love NPL on this podcast. Yeah, it's like I was thinking the same with NWSL games being when I have to drive to work on Monday morning. It's like, that's not it. Anyway, Madge, how have you been?
I'm bad. I went and saw a movie on the weekend. I haven't been to the movie theaters in a long time. So
See.
that's what happens when you don't have football to go and watch.
What did you see though?
Monster.
Was it any
The
good?
Korean movie. Yeah. It was good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. A little sad. But yeah.
Oh, did you say Korean? Oh yeah, they love an emotional roller coaster, so that's to be expected. And Dale, get oh, did you play on the weekend? Because
I
there was
did.
another word.
I
Yes.
did. I got a. We had a very eventful game on the weekend. We drew one all. One of the other players got sent off for kicking one of my colleagues in the thigh after a
Oi.
corner. That was very eventful. And the lesson here is control your emotions. But yeah, it was they. We played against a team who were many of them were of Greek extraction, and their dad was on the sideline yelling at them very loudly in Greek. There was a pretty big Greek community around where I live, so yeah, a
Yeah,
little bit
there
of
is.
cultural diversity happening at the Alexandria Park football oval. No, it was good fun.
I know one Greek word. I reckon that word was said many times.
Oh yeah,
Am I right?
there was a lot of yelling back and forth. Also, like when your 70-year-old dad is yelling on the sideline, I'm like, this
Oh,
guy needs to stop, or he's gonna need to go to hospital.
yeah, that's
It was good. It was good fun.
yes, yeah, and of course Mother's Day as well. So.
Yeah,
Oh.
I.
Not true, that happened. Yes.
Yes. I was gonna
Sorry,
say
it's my bad
I
for
sent my
asking
mother
about
the
you instead of
requisite
your
text
mother's.
and
Yeah.
off we went. She's doing much better than she was last Sunday, so that's definitely a step up.
Yes. 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 Shout out to all the mothers out there. And yeah, I had my own Mother's Day thing, but it was also a friend of the pod's birthday. That's Lockie, of course, the man behind College Matilda. So I rushed over to and enjoy his birthday with him. I was too busy. I didn't have time to have lunch with all the running around going on. So I saw him at the Bella Vista Hotel and decided instead of lunch, I would have an espresso martini.
That
And
is
yeah,
lunch.
that
Say what you
yeah.
will.
It's been lots of food groups there, I hope, please. Then
That's all you need.
we got yeah, went to the local Portuguese chicken place later on, and we watched Apia versus UNSW, and that got speaking of control your emotions, yeah, none of that going on. Is Apia deciding not to comply they by conceding a very early goal, and then it was just stress for the rest of the game. So, but yeah, we.
Sometimes dinner is just three beers. It's a life lesson for all of those people who have lived on their own.
Sometimes
Anyway.
it is. And sometimes it's a handful of shredded cheese that you eat while
Yes.
standing at the fridge.
Oh, I am a huge
Oh.
fan of just like microwave shredded cheese with tomato sauce on top. Big
That's a new one. I
kid.
don't think I'll be doing it, but
It's
that's a new
big
one.
kids after school meal. Yeah.
I would like to try this at the first opportunity, actually. I'll report on next week's
Going
plan.
to add to this one, just crunching on uncooked pasta.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've been there. They say that that is a sign of an iron deficiency. And I went and was told that, and then I went and got my bloods done, and yeah,
Oh,
turns out that it
okay.
was. So, an interesting little health update for all of those playing along.
Okay. Oh, yes. Regular reminder, get to please
Go to
visit the
the
doctor at least
shops
secondly.
and do some
Safely,
grocery
regularly.
shopping.
Yeah,
Yeah, go
and
to the
all that too,
shops.
but yes. Yes, then you might not have to go to the doctor so often and get your
Yeah.
bloods checked. Let's get this back to football for a couple of minutes at least. Today's featured Matilda, cap 199, Eliza Campbell, the former Perth Glory, Adelaide United, Newcastle Jets, and although she didn't get on the field, she did sign with Sydney FC for a short time. Remembered from checking her Wikipedia page. Two caps for the Matildas, both in 2017 and both against China. And yes, just the brief update because there were some unfortunate injury things and I think a couple of concussions. He did kind of go off the radar for the time being, but she signed for Treaty United in Ireland because their CEO is her former Newcastle Jets teammate and former Irish international Ciarán McCormack. So hopefully she can get on the field at some point this season because she's we were I think this is more a question for Dale and I because we would have seen her both I think in NPL New South Wales as well as a dub, but yes, at her best, a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah, very good goalkeeper. Never one to, well, I mean, generally speaking, if you're a goalkeeper with concussion issues, never one to be afraid of throwing the body around, which is kind of a prerequisite for being a good top level goalkeeper these days. But yeah, she was always decent with the passing game. She did have some issues with the kind of space in positioning and things like that, but like that was kind of very early on in her dub career. And yeah, hopefully she's doing well over in Ireland, and she's in Limerick. So yeah, you know, it's good to see that she's getting some game time, especially after, as you said, having some head knocks.
Yeah, and of course, as is common for those people from very far northern New South Wales, a QAS product as well. So, which is because technically the remit of northern New South Wales football, but one of those people for whom Brisbane is a lot closer than Newcastle. So, there you go. Just like Jamila Rankin and a few others. Yeah, I think glad you remember to mention her passing game. She's one of the experienced players that helped Northern Tigers suddenly become an NPL New South Wales powerhouse out of nowhere, along with like Ellie Brush and Savette Ozenla. So, yeah, but hopefully, because like hopefully it's been a tough run, and of course, I mean, hard if we respect the players' wishes to stay private. But if Eliza's been deemed fit enough to sign a pro contract in Ireland, then if things are ho hopefully on the up for her. Now, from one person with one goalkeeper with Matildas caps to another. Straight into the sad news relating to the Matildas. Lydia Williams will be retiring from international football after the Paris Olympics. What a career. This stuff. I've just looking at this tweet the Matildas posted that I've embedded in the show notes here. One a Matilda Centurion. Wow. Five. I'd forgotten it was five World Cup appearances. An Asian Cup winner. Just what can you say?
And there's
After
so
you
much
match.
to say, but I mean, there's so much to say, but I think a lot of people have said it really well. I really liked Marissa's tweet that we've got there in the show notes as well. Just across the board, yeah, she's just been an amazing player, an amazing advocate for Indigenous people in the sport, workers' rights, of course, yeah, with the work with the PFA. Yeah, it's really the end of an era. She's one of those players that's been such a constant for the Matildas since I've sort of been following. So it's that generation that was sort of now starting to see retire. I think it's a bit sad. I mean, we love seeing all the new players come up as well, but she, yeah, definitely one of the pioneers for the sport and one of the people wholeheartedly responsible for getting the Matildas to where they are right now.
Completely agree. Her advocacy is a kind of the face of the union movement, well, nearly 10 years ago now, which is crazy to think, as you say, kind of led the Matildas to where they are now. I don't think that Football Australia, let alone the Matildas, would be in the financial position and kind of have even the, even an, you know, the commercial success that we've seen in the last kind of 2 years, 18 months, 2 years, that they would have if that strike and all the EBA negotiations, et cetera, et cetera, never happened. And Lydia was a big push for that. She was the face of that. Well, not necessarily just the face. She was the talking head at a lot of those press conferences back in the day. So she's still involved with the PFA. I believe she's a vice president of the PFA, or she's definitely got a PFA role. But yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again, one of the best players ever to come out of Canberra. We're very lucky to have had her for as long as we did. And I think she will be remembered as much for her on-field performance as for her off-field performance, which I think speaks to the quality of individual that she is, if not the best-dressed member of the Matildas squad. She is constantly roasted for her fashion sense by her colleagues. So, and to that, I can only agree.
But can I just say, many of them should not be throwing stones on their glass.
Yeah, there's a few. There's definitely a few. there's a few blinded archers in that. In that pulling longbows there. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna miss the opportunity to tweet "Go Go Gadget Arms" when Lily Williams does something incredible. Yeah, she's always just been fun to watch. A good time to watch. You've always kind of, you'd always know when Lydia was on the pitch, especially if there were smaller crowds. You definitely knew she was there. Yeah, it's going to be weird not immediately seeing her name on like the team sheets or the, you know, the team lists or whatever. Like now it's like, you know, oh, she's injured, but soon it's going to be she's not available because she's not playing anymore.
Yeah. I hope she's given some form of coaching or advocacy role within
it'd be stupid not to. Like, it would be a waste not to. But, yeah, her professional footballing career internationally is only a few years older than me. So have fun with
That's
that.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, she signed at 19.
It's only 5 years older than I am. So
she came out of the AIS and went straight to basically start for Canberra United, if I recall correctly.
That is just crazy. And that she's been genuinely a decent keeper for such an extended period of time at a national level is unreal. Unreal.
Yeah, I think it's funny because like she for a long time was kind of ahead of the pack in terms of playing as a distributive goalkeeper. She did have her moments in terms of decision making, but all goalkeepers have those moments. But her distribution, her leadership from the back was really what set her apart from a lot of goalkeepers, especially in the early days of the dub. And then obviously you had Bubs, who is great with her feet and always has been. But I think the thing that has really caught up with the game, or the part of the game that has really caught up, has been that distribution. And as we said, with, say, for example, Eliza Campbell, as we mentioned before, like that I think is one of the big reasons why Lids, aside from the injuries, why Lids has struggled to get game time in the past few years while she's been overseas, has been that the fact that basically she had led the way in terms of being a distributive goalkeeper, and now the master is kind of, well, the apprentice is kind of becoming the master. There are so many good goalkeepers who have followed in those footsteps, not necessarily directly, but have learnt from her way to success, or have learnt her way and become successful. And I think that speaks volumes to, you know, what she, the legacy that she will leave in Australian goalkeeping, especially. Like, we have a wealth of depth. And for her to have been number one on the team sheet for so long and now kind of step away and there's like four or five players who could step into her shoes, I don't think that there's many national team players, male or female, that you can really say we have that same that same kind of totem figurehead in their position to then be replaced by, you know, their understudies.
Yeah, and of course, can't underestimate how important it is for this country to have Indigenous role models, which she certainly is. I'm just looking at her career. Like, Lydia is almost old enough to have played in the Ansett Summer Series. She would not be surprised if she trained with the Canberra Eclipse in the last season as a young teenager. And she's gone, her career spans all the, goes from being a young'un in the dub to that really stressful period when our best players had to juggle the dub and the NWSL to now actually, we wish he played more games, but to actually sign proper full-time pro contracts overseas. And yeah, just for the newer women's football fans in this country, just you may not know this. Yeah, what the picture we've embedded in the show notes is a reference to the Matildas going on strike and missing out on a very lucrative two-game series against the United States because they just weren't happy with everything and said this is the statement they needed to make. And I think being that kind of union advocate, it's all of these things have helped to walk towards the conditions that the current Matildas can enjoy. And of course, what we can enjoy as fans as well. You know, and other things like, you know, a proper full-length home and away dub season and stuff like that. So, yes, such a big impact on the field and off the field as well. I've also linked to an article Sam Lewis wrote about Lydia's career back in 2023 from last year. Still very much worth reading. But it's not a full retirement. Hopefully we can hear that incredibly booming voice in club football for a while yet.
Oh, we may be able to hear it on the broadcast from the pitch. So
yes, that's right. I remember, I think, watching her in a dub game at Kogarah, and honestly, it sounded like she was in the bay next to me, and I was high in the stand. It's one of Australia's greatest ever voice projectors, Lydia Williams.
Very true.
Now, what else is there? Oh, yeah, this is re-recorded straight after the Junior Matilda's third game in the under-17 Asian Championships. Unfortunately, three losses, so 3-0 to China, 4-1 to Japan, and 3-1 to Thailand. That's a bit rough, out in straight sets. No under-17 World Cup, no trip to the Dominican Republic, I think, for the Junior Tillies. But that's what we... I mean, in a sense, we'd like it to go a bit better, but we want the kids to be challenged at this age and exposed to kind of... No, what's required if you want to be a top-level footballer? Did anyone actually get a chance to see the game, the Thailand game, which was tonight at the time of recording?
I saw a little bit of it, then I had to eat dinner. Yeah. It looked like, from the bits that I saw, they were creating chances.
Yeah.
It just, well, obviously they're all like, what, 16-year-olds?
If they that. Keeper Brace 14, so the keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
It is under competition rules, yes.
Yes. Okay. You can be born in what, 2009 and play in this competition?
Yep.
I don't like that.
Yes. 31st of December 2009. No, illegal.
Okay. But yeah, they were setting up chances, things were happening. It just kind of seemed like they were outrun a bit by Thailand. But there were promising signs, quite a few moments that were quite, I don't know, they were well on top of the ball and they were happy to, you know, play with some embellishment, if that makes sense. So they were happy to, you know, pull a few little tricks here and there. So, but yeah, I think it's, yeah, good for them to, as much as it sucks, it's good for them to have some losses, I guess, as well, to, yeah, like you said, see what it's like at higher levels of football.
So,
yeah, I was going to say, we lost to China in that first game. I don't think that we were horribly outplayed against China, to be perfectly honest. It's just that we kind of didn't have any real gumption in the, or gumption's the wrong word, but didn't have the oomph in the final third. China defended so well. Their goalkeeper really only had to make, I think, two or three saves. But Yeah, the Japan game. I mean, Japan are the reigning champions, and then yeah, Thailand. I think that's, as you say, the conditions would have been oppressive to play in as well. 30, I think it was 26 degrees or 30 degrees and 90% humidity when I looked at it for the China game. And
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, that's
the
rough.
girls just looked like they were out on their feet after about 60 minutes.
Yeah, hence the training camp in northern Queensland before they went over to Bali, but like a 5 or 6 day training camp can only do so much. So
Yeah.
More positive news. We love the Tillys in mainstream media. How about Chloe Lagazo and Emily Gilnick being on the celebrity version of The Amazing Race? Yet another reason to log into 10play if you so desire, or channeled, or just watch Channel 10 on the conventional means. But I mean,
It's good for that. Good for
yeah, it's
them.
good for
No,
them.
neither of them were in the title race, so you know.
It's, I think they're just pretty funny.
Oh yeah.
I yeah.
These two especially.
The competitive streak in both of
Oh
them
yes, that's right. That's
will be very good to
yeah.
watch.
Yes, that's what we're hoping for, because I haven't watched The Amazing Race in so long, but I think the kind of borderline psychotic competitiveness that Chloe Lagazo provides, it's really, I think that's why she was selected. And
Yeah, and I think it's throw in a stressful situation
yes.
and travel, that's always fun on these shows.
Yeah.
So see how they handle it.
There's definitely some interesting other competitors on there. So
Yes.
interested to see how Ian Thorpe's on there, Pete Hellyer, a lot of Melbourne celebrities, Billy Brownless. We don't consider them celebrities up here, but
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know who half like a lot of
Billy
these people.
Brownless, he's a man, footy man. Nellie Bassingthwaite, we know who that is. She did a song. But yeah, I'll be interested to see, because like obviously with the Tillys players having been overseas, it'll be super interesting. Like if they go overseas on this thing, it'll be interesting to see where that, like, you know, they've been to, where did they go for the last Olympic qualifiers? They went to Thailand. We went to Thailand and the lights turned off during COVID.
Yeah, that was funny.
Went to Uzbekistan. So like, you know, these players will have at least traveled a little bit. So I wonder whether that'll help them. We love, as you say, Eric, we love representation in media.
It's always fun when there's like a manual car and no one drives a manual.
We have to explain to Emma what a manual car is.
My father used to drive one, but I was going to
Okay.
say I'd be putting that thing in neutral and pushing.
Yeah.
I would not even turn the car off.
And
I
just
turn
turn
around
so
to
so
put it
it's
into neutral.
just drive very slow down the road in first.
I'm not
No.
touching any of those pedals. I'm sorry,
Yeah.
why is there a third pedal? No. No.
Emma's like, go faster, go slower. What's the third one for? That makes no sense. Any key?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where's the any key?
Okay. Friction point. What are you talking about? Speak
What's
English.
a clutch? I have one of them. Anyway.
Oh
It'll be good.
well. Yes, that's but actually we should keep a tabs on when they actually broadcast those episodes. And of course, I assume 10play they could just do one a night till it's all done, because of course not like back in the day where it had to be one a week and then you just wait and wait and wait for the next episode. Yes. On to A-League Women All-Star Squad. That is definitely a squad of players who played in the most recent A-League women's season. Actually, firstly, let's give the flowers to the people who made it. So, well done to Lydia Williams, very topical. Jada Wyman as the two keepers, and the defenders, Alana Cherner, Michaela Foster, Grace Marr, well, even though I think she should only ever be classified as a midfielder, but whatever. Danica Matos, Kayla Morrison, Rebecca Stott, then midfielders Alex Chidiac, Mackenzie Hawksby, Elise Kellen-Knight, Rihanna Polachina, Tamiki Yallop, and the forwards, Sophie Harding, Michelle Heyman, Princess Abini, Kai Simon, Courtney Vine, and Hannah Wilkinson. So, thoughts? Everyone's got
Stop movie.
thoughts.
Is anyone aware that we have a team from the West?
No, they are not allowed per
Well,
COVID lockdowns.
yes,
The
yeah,
borders are
that's
back up. No
yeah. We
Perth.
have
No Perth.
players west of the mouth of the Murray not allowed to play football in Sydney anymore, I believe is the
No
rule.
Perth. That was the first thing I thought when I, well, the first thing I saw thought when I saw it was, oh, this looks fun. And then I looked at it a little closer and I was like, hang on. I'm assuming they asked people from Perth, and then people from Perth were like, I am not flying 4 hours for one game to then fly another 4 hours
A generous
in my
assumption.
off season. That's what I would have said. Sorry, I didn't even want to fly to Perth when I flew to Perth, and that was like for a holiday and to watch the Matildas. Like,
Same.
I
Oh, so
still didn't even
yeah.
want to do that.
Oh, yes, especially at this time of year, the flight east, where the flight is basically the whole, that's the whole day, like when I flew from Perth to Brisbane during the World Cup. Oh God, that was,
Two
thank
movies
you.
worth
Yes. Oh, yeah.
our flight time.
The good Lord did not intend Perth to be part of this country.
No.
But I mean, the selection, like, clearly there must have been some either unavailable slash not interested, number one on that list being Serena Bolden. Clearly she must have something better to do.
We hope, and we hope that that something better is not what she was doing this time last year, playing for Illawarra Stingrays. I hope it's bigger than that. That would, yes.
Better be.
Yeah.
Maybe she can side for a team that actually plays week in, week out, as
Yeah,
opposed to
that
having
a team that doesn't
70%
get
of their
washed
games
out.
washed out.
Yeah. No, the team that doesn't get washed out if someone spills a water bottle on their pitch. Like, yeah.
It is interesting that they, because I know that previously they've had to have, like with the men's A-League All-Stars, they've had to have a player in the squad from every team. And they've just completely ditched that idea. So that's, especially when so many of those Perth players, well, not so many of the Adelaide players, but so many of those Perth players are Sydney based during the regular season, well, during the off season. So
And
interesting.
yeah, and we've also got the under 23s happening, so that's accounts for a few as well. I think the
Yes.
thing that disappoints me a little bit, like I kind of understand it, but there are a few names in there that are just in there as names, and I'm wondering kind of who that's really servicing. Like I'm not really seeing this game as having huge interest back in the UK or anywhere else around the world where they would demand to only see people who they've seen play in Europe before, or so I feel like it's a little bit of a missed opportunity. Some of the names that have gotten into this squad who maybe haven't played a whole heap of the previous season. There could have been a few other people I think more deserving. Like I understand, yeah, that name recognition that they're going for, but yeah, some of the selections are a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, some of them are definitely, yeah, just in for the sake of people being like, yeah, I know that name, I'll go. And will that player actually see the pitch? Unlikely. But yeah.
Will Kayla Morrison be given Australian citizenship by this point?
She is already an
She already
Australian citizen.
is.
She's
Can we
already an
count this
Australian citizen.
towards a competitive Matildas cap? These are
I
the
want to say
answers that
yes.
I
why not?
She is
I
definitely already an Australian
She is.
citizen.
She's got it.
She is.
Think some of the New Zealanders in that team
I
might
think we should
be a
count
little
her.
upset about
Well, look, Rebecca Stott,
She had
whatever.
her chance. She
She's
had her
dead to me.
opportunity. She's
She
made
tried.
life decisions that she has to live with, Rebecca Stott.
Yep, exactly. Sophie Harding, good for her. It's nice that she's again a squad player, not going to get any game time in this match. So, as a keen Western Sydney Wanderers hater, I welcome this.
I have just realized that this was something I could have shared for work, as Sophie Harding is a Manly United junior, and not only did I miss this, but everyone else at work missed this. Oh
It's a bit awkward for you guys.
well.
But,
She's
I mean,
dead. She's dead now.
she's
Move
like,
on.
well. But like almost like we all recognize this squad is, yes. I mean, also Michaela Foster and how Hannah Wilkinson, well, Rebecca, well, we've already discussed Rebecca Stott's nationalities, but yeah. There feels like a token effort to include some Kiwis, but would it? Like, but Mikaela Foster, very good player, had a good season. So I'm glad for her. Also, let me see. Abby Lemon has not made at least one player in this squad, so good for you, Abby. I'll just leave it at
yes,
that.
Yes, the ALW All-Stars. Abby Lemon winning.
Yeah, yes, that's what, because that is what one ALW tweets, actually stands for.
One of that was definitely a tweet that was twote.
Yes. Oh, let's see. So, I mean, yes, I mean, I make everyone knows my favorite players, and everyone knows a lot of them would be eligible for an Australian under 23 squad. So, I'm actually like saving my ire until I see that one that announced, and then
and
I
then
think
again, like,
this might get a little more
maybe
sense.
Maybe it's just evening the field as well, because are we actually going to get a full strength Arsenal very much?
Oh, I, oh, I.
With those,
there's a lot of European national
teams
that would want to say absolutely not.
Important European qualifying games, yes.
Well,
it'll
I mean,
be interesting
there's
to see who they bring.
Yeah,
I'm assuming Kim Little already has her ticket booked and has already selected what couches she will be sleeping on.
Hey.
But yeah,
I assume there's going to be a significantly large pre-match meal out at Casa del Catley, a very large barbecue. But I mean, you know, they also don't have to worry about any of the British players playing in the Olympics or Stina Blackstenius. So you know, maybe we'll see some of their better players.
Hey,
it's true. The English don't have anything on.
Yeah, Kim Little, as I said, she'll be out here.
Kim Little's already retired from international football, so
yeah,
there's no excuses.
Manuela Zinsberger, she can come out. Do they actually have any players who are eligible to play in the Olympics? Oh, they've got Chloe Lacasse. Emily Fox is American.
Yes, Emily
so
Fox from America.
They have two players. That's all. That's it. None of the important ones.
Katie McCabe.
Ireland haven't. Ireland
qualified.
No, Ireland weren't even in League A at the time of the qualifiers.
No,
so,
yes.
Never mind.
League A
she
now.
Could be there.
Yes,
so
I.
She could,
I well.
She could be there.
It, if you want, Emma. Although I would like Ireland to get one point in this. In this
no,
particular
I very
part.
Much. I very much
you
would
know
like
what?
To see her play where I can actually cheer for her and not be threatened.
I mean, you had an option last year, and you chose something else. That's not on me.
Sorry, I picked the winners. Pick the winning team in that game.
Yes, and you got to live with that decision.
I hope they really send the full strength side, and they just do the dash back to Europe for the international games, and we just hear a lot of bleating about international
endless complaining.
Travel.
Oh,
and then,
it's so far.
And then we, which
oh,
so
but they're sponsored by Emirates. Come on, they'll get a lovely
fly
flight out to
yes,
a lovely flight to Abu
as your shirts say, fly Emirates and
fly.
Godspeed.
Emirates.
Oh, dude.
They'll be.
Well,
they will definitely be because they'll be definitely doing promo stuff for Emirates on the way here. Oh, look at our lovely thing.
We've got slippers in our first class.
They need to have their white glasses, like the Socceroos did when they came back from
Uruguay.
Anyway,
well, I mean, it was actually yes. In amongst all the complaining about whoever's favorite player wasn't selected, yes, there's Sam Lewis and Kieran remaining sensible. Although, having said that, Holly Caspers not worth a mention. So, and I mean, it was it took me I came up with this joke a lot slower than I should have, but yeah, eventually I did manage to tweet out that she was ghosted by the All Stars as like this. Ah, dear.
Maybe she ghosted them.
That would be amazing if it
yeah.
if it came out later that oh yeah that actually positive thinking yeah that
for whom,
it's okay
yes.
Holly, you're too good for that. It's all right.
Let you know for whom the ghost for whom the All-Stars ghost etc etc
yes okay tell let's get away from this topic we've been. On to the news of Perth Glory Awards. Thanks to Neil for pointing this out. Hannah Lowry wins the Puntastic Most Glorious Player Awards. Morgan Aquino, no surprise for her to be Players Player of the Season and Members Player of the Season. I'd vote for Morgan Aquino too if she bailed me out as many times as she did that last season. Well done to Georgia Cassidy for Best Youth Player Award. Actually, that's nice that it's named after Dylan Pombidis as well. May he rest in peace. Sorry, Dale, Izzy Dalton's long-range goal against Canberra United was their goal of the season.
And well, they only had like 6 goals, so you know.
And apparently the other 5 were scored by Millie Farrow, who's a golden.
Yeah, player. Sometimes it really do be like that.
Dale, I love it. You're in a hating mood. Just remember, listeners, please send your angry DMs direct to Dale underscore Roots and leave Beyond 90 AU out of it.
Yeah, leave us out of it.
Now, also. Other news, Urawa Reds winning the AFC Women's Club Championship by defeating Hyundai Steel Red Angels 2-1. I can't remember where I saw it. I just
one of the great names.
Oh, yes, that's a, by the way.
What? Guys, literally just tweeted as we record, Viviana Miedema is leaving Arsenal.
Oh,
breaking news!
He will not be coming to Melbourne.
Oh dear! So
Viviana only goes to Adelaide a couple of years ago. Oh. Yeah.
Caught her in Adelaide, please. I don't even want to be caught in Adelaide. I'm going there.
There are a lot worse things to be caught in Adelaide. Put it that way. Interesting. That's interesting.
Bro.
Barcelona.
I guess they'll be re-signing Blackstenius.
That's my hot tip, Barcelona. You heard it here first.
That is absolutely piping hot off the press, Emma. Thanks for pointing that out. That's No Miedema. No.
Very, very interesting. I am going to now read some things.
Yeah.
I have no opinion.
She's going on a free.
Oh, yeah, that's right, she is.
Because she's going at the end of her contract. Oh, Arsenal, what have you done?
Oh, dear, dear.
To be fair, I don't know how much money anyone can really get out of her, all things considered.
She's assuming what, 20, WSL. 26, 27?
Her knee is cooked. Her knee is cooked. She did her ACL, like, what, over a year and a half ago? Maybe 2 years now, even? And has had to have like multiple surgeries since, like for corrections and stuff. It's just awful. But regardless, I think she would make a very, not that she's going into coaching, I don't know anything. She would make a very good coach in the future, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good shout, actually. Even if it's just as an attacking coach. Because her ability vision. To play off the ball is fantastic. Yeah, good point about vision as well.
But this is a terrible day for me. Thank you. please protect, no questions, no comments.
We'll leave you some at this time. Some time in your some privacy with your family.
Yes. Yeah. please send your best wishes and good vibes to Emma Burke because she does need it. Well, completing the news section. Oh yes, Adelaide United announcing departures of 7 players. That's in the show notes. Remember that brief fleeting time when Adelaide United were good. Hopefully, they can like kind of get moves some way back to it next season. It was rough watching them this season. But yeah, so Hannah Blake, Annie Haffenden, Jenna Holtz, Alana Ganchevsky, Mariah Lee, Rosetta Taylor, and Grace Wilson will be finding new destinations. Now, let's see. Oh, yeah, and just, I mean, we're not going to discuss the ACL thing again, but Sam Lewis did one of those 60-second videos for ABC Sport on, was it the Project ACL? So and also why it needed to be happened. So like recommended viewing for you. And then it's more bad news coming up because next in our show notes is I hope this is the only time I have to have a segment called Don't Date Your Players, but yes, the Willie Kirk themes come out and an article was published, I think written by Catherine Batty was the one that wrote it. So you can click on it through the embedded tweets if you want. It's from the Daily Mail, so I'm not going to, but it is there. And yeah, just We're sick of people. We're sick of men not taking accountability. Yeah. Hey.
I just don't understand why this article was even written. Like, why are you platforming this horrible, horrible man?
Yeah.
And the comment, like, why he doesn't want to walk away from women's football. Well, I think women's football needs to walk away from you.
Hear, hear. Good shout.
Yes.
Yep. We spoke about it, especially with the Jonathan Morgan situation, but
no. If you're good enough to, if you're a good enough coach, you know, you'll get a gig somewhere else. But, you know, if there's a women's team that hires him, they need their heads read, to be honest. Yeah. Pretty awful scenes.
Yeah. And then the other thing, which was which made this one particularly icky, as pointed out by Sophie Lawson, basically the fact that John O'Brien, father of Shannon from Leicester, had to get onto the tweets to say that his daughter is not the player in question. That was particularly grim, as Sophie Lawson put it, and unfair on so many people. That's just, again, why did it need to happen? So let's try and cheer things up. Spicy tweets. Oh, as a social media manager, this is a dream. I dream of stuff like this. Houston Dash during the recent game against Gotham FC, losing 1-0, and tweeted, looking for the equalizer. Then Gotham FC at full time just quoted it and said, didn't find it though. Eyes emoji.
Well, don't tweet dumb things, I say.
Yes.
What? Yeah, I saw something like this the other day from the WSL, something similar, and it was like warming up for the second half, and then they got beat. Like, they conceded, I think it was in the WSL. It's like, you know, second half loading or whatever it was, and then they conceded 4 goals, and it was like, maybe they did not load. The download has been paused.
Oh dear. Also, I mean, if I did anything remotely like that in my job, oh, the call I would get from Football New South Wales. But at least at least those NWSL admins are allowed to cook, so that's good. And also, it's another Sam Lewis piece about basically, did A-League women make the most of the Matildas World Cup legacy? At headline of the article, and work good on Sophie Lawson for just replying with a screenshot, the Wikipedia screenshot, Betteridge's Law of Headlines, which basically states any headline that ends in a question mark can be answered by word no.
Yeah, very good.
We need one of those accounts that like just changes the headlines with the red to be like, be more explicit about what the issue is.
Yes,
there's a bunch of TikTok account that basically like see a TikTok that's like 8 minutes long, and then I like, he said no, and then it just says time saved like 6 minutes 45 seconds. Like, just summarize it. So if I think that there's one that's literally called save yourself the time or something like that. I like, we need something like that.
If you've been paying, you know, close attention to what's going on in grassroots football and what's happening there, finding the facilities for all these new football lovers. Actually, we did mention it in a previous pod, but
I think I mentioned this to you, Eric, but we've had a cricket pitch taken out of our local ground so that they can put the growing grass over the top of the moment, so that they can put a new pitch in at the end of the season. So, like, there is only a finite amount of space in the cities. Obviously, it's not so much of a problem if you live out bush or even in the regions. But yeah, they've built a new synthetic surface that's going to be widely used by the kind of Sunday league and kids vibe areas with a canteen and things like that. So yeah, there's only so much space. Someone's got to lose out, and it is unfortunately a zero sum game. So less unscheduled cricket for the local community here.
Well, this isn't a cricket podcast, so.
Well, put it this way, I'm not crying.
I'm sorry.
They can go and play.
But yeah.
They can go and play in one of the many cul-de-sacs that exists within my area.
Yes. Oh, and a sensible tweet. Oh yeah, of course it's from Kieran. I think this is in response to the ongoing Oh, well, at least the implied view amongst club owners that it's kind of a, I can't remember what he said, act of charity to have a women's team. And then he just pointing out that the dub minimum is between $16,000 to $26,000 for the 6 month season, depending on status. And then he pointed out the recent transfer fee Macy Fraser attracted, and therefore that's what Wellington Phoenix earned for Macy Fraser after her one season of dub. So that was a six figures, was it not? So
yeah,
because players like Macy Fraser are being bought on potential. So an owner saying there's no mechanism for me to benefit from that is wrong. That would actually be in response to just think comments from the Mariners owner, Richard Pale, who should probably, I mean, it's safe enough for me to say this here. He should stop sacking men's academy first grade coaches because they refuse to play his son in first grade. That's it. I can get away with that in this pod.
Not a particularly hot take.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, and also, well, if I may lower the tone to men's football, one of the coaches he sacked are now top of NPL Men's New South Wales with his new club, and the Mariners are last or second last. Oh, well.
Yep.
FA Cup final time. This is a terrible time for you, Emma. I'm so sorry. You wanted Tottenham to have a plan, and it looked like they had nothing.
Tottenham had less than nothing.
Yep.
They had negatives.
They got spanked.
Oh.
Yeah. They held out well for 30 minutes.
If your definition of holding out well is not holding out well at all, then yes, yeah. They did that so well.
Their game plan of not conceding any goals was torn apart by simply letting a player run 35 minutes with the ball and then score an absolute worldie and then capitulate later.
Oh yes, and also shout out to Evelina Suominen, who might still be sliding in the wrong direction, but ooh, Ella Toon
Center. But like I said before the pod, at least she tried to do something.
Yes, yeah. That's my other point.
Yeah, they were all backing away. Not even backing away.
Backing away. Well, the defenders that were in the TV. Oh, the Tottenham players that were in the TV shot were backing away. Who knows where the rest of them were?
It was like they're playing FIFA online and someone's connection just stopped and the players just froze.
I was going to say it was like table football and they just weren't moving their little defenders with the little pushy thingy. But as somebody just slowly pushed their player further up the field. Yeah.
Goodness. I have not seen a gap between a team's defense and midfield like that in some time. That was, very suboptimal. Mm. And then also Rachel Williams giving us a you didn't want her moment, scoring against Spurs in a cup final. And then the Spurs keeper, Rebecca Spencer, deciding to put it on a plate for Lucia Garcia. Oh, dear.
I felt really bad for that because she obviously wanted the ball on her other side. She's a right footer. She wanted the ball on the other side, and she was trying to play a pass across her body from in front of her. Mm. And she just got it all wrong. She had enough time to take a short, touch and to kind of get rid of it. But yeah, just ended up passing it to the opposition, which is like super, super tough. And in front of 90,000 people, not really the best way to, start your Saturday or Sunday rather.
Yeah. But hey, at least Marissa Lordanik got to see Charlie Grant come on in the 68th minute. So,
to be fair, we have seen Charlie Grant do that quite a few times.
Yeah. But Marissa got to see it at Wembley.
This is true.
Yes.
She did. I did enjoy her walk down the Wembley Way. She got a good seat from what I saw. She was up in the corner in either the second top or the top tier.
She supports Manchester United, doesn't she?
Yeah, there's not a bad seat there. So it's you can't really complain. Very lucky for her to be there. It's not very often that your team gets to play in a cup final.
Yes.
Last time my team played in a cup final, I nearly got thrown out of the casino in Canberra.
Oh, was this some Everton Chelsea 8 or 9?
Yeah, Everton Chelsea. Everton scored after like 70 seconds.
Oh yeah,
and
that's
I
what
nearly
is.
Got asked to leave.
The yeah, Canberra that, Casino, yeah. The most anyway, non-casino I've ever been to.
Yeah, it really does feel just like a large room that should be filled with like organized crime.
It's like,
and you're telling me it's not.
Yeah, well, isn't that just most casinos?
It's like a conference center that just bought in some tables.
Yeah, that's actually a good way of putting it. There's like a bar in the middle. There's a sports section, which isn't really a lounge. It's just like seats next to the TV.
There's not enough bling.
Yeah, there's an 80s nightclub in there as well, which is probably not the kind of place you want to go if you would like to remain dignified. Eric's hearing 80s nightclub and thinks, oh, the glory days. Studio 2604, if they should call it. Anyway.
Yes, also, yeah, well, I mean, not that I can laugh at Dale too much. The last time Leeds United was in a cup final? Yeah, anyway, don't, whatever.
Yeah, that, I don't know if they had got like crossbars.
Literally would
on
not
the
have been able to watch it in Australia live
at that point.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, there would have been one migrant from England with an illegal satellite collection in the whole country that would have watched whatever that game was. Yeah. But back to the women's FA Cup final. Now, I mean, yes, they won the game, but yeah, there was some ire on Twitter because. Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the Manchester United board decided to attend a meaningless men's league game instead of the women's FA Cup final. Well, boo. That's pointed out by Paul Wheeler and others, I reckon. But
it's so insulting. The only chance they're going to have a trophy and to the disrespect is just to go to an Arsenal game.
United, who've cancelled their like end of season thing. I saw it recently. There was a tweet. Someone was talking about the men's team is doing really badly. And so they've cancelled their end of season like celebrations because the men's team sucks, but the women's team is doing pretty good. So yeah, none of this is surprising.
No part of that would surprise me. I'm trying to think of which team would be doing so poorly where that would be the case. It wouldn't surprise me if Everton did that, but purely because they couldn't pick up the tab because they have millions and millions of pounds in debt at the moment.
I literally saw it just recently, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's bring it back to positive with takes with the FA Cup final. Jesse Parker-Humphreys basically stating that Nikita Paris rejected a £1 million offer from North Carolina Courage because she wanted to play in this in the FA Cup final. Well, that's a decision. I
wonder if it's like just a bit of a avoiding way of saying no. Like someone's kind of asking you out that you really don't want to go out with, but you don't want to tell them that. So I was like, I've got an FA Cup final.
I'm very busy. Got to wash my hair in the rain, specifically. And yes, you were right. It was Manchester United that was... Emma or Madge, it was Man United who cancelled their Christmas party this year.
Yeah, because their men's team
Or their end of season dinner, rather. Yeah.
So the men suck and the women have to suffer for it.
Yeah.
Really good. Excellent.
Well, you know, please, I think continue they might this. Have more fun if they have their own party anyway.
True. But will it be as lavish if the men's side aren't involved?
Well, that. Have a big cup to drink off now. It's very true.
So, anyway, that's enough. Enough talk. Oh, Dale is. We've lost Dale. So,
Dale has left the building.
yes, he's. Yeah,
The virtual
that
building.
was clearly too much talking about the Manchester United men's team. It's just, yeah, his internet has said, what are you doing? Anyway, also like NPL chat, and I think just a not games, but more interesting discussion because Football Queensland are putting out some interesting graphics about just all-time things, like the all-time table was very interesting. Also listed the all-time top scorers. So shout out to Tegan Writing for being many, many, many goals ahead of the person in second place.
Yeah, I mean, and
But
like, I think she's
yeah, like
pretty sure
I
she started at East and then spent a long time getting racking up those goals at Lions. And then mid-season, this season has now gone back to East.
Yes, well.
So, yeah, she was playing for them on the weekend. But yeah, it's they've also put out another one which just lists sort of the all of the dub players that have come back, which is quite interesting as well. So,
Oh, yeah,
and it's just
that's.
letting you know what teams they've played
Ah,
for previously, so that's good fun as well. But yeah, it's been interesting in the really competitive season this season. We had top of the table, East were playing Brisbane City and came away with the win. Still, Brisbane City still top of the table. I think Gold Coast are in third and Lions are in fourth. So really competitive season compared to previous seasons, and the talent is, yeah, sort of spreading around those few top teams. So it's really, really interesting to see how it's going to play out for the rest of the fixtures.
yeah, and yep, that's nice. An infographic of rejoining dub players as opposed to the NPL New South Wales tradition of frantically checking what's been uploaded to Dribbble the first set of games after the window opens, which is that was nice to find out that when Manly playing MacArthur had brought several dub players back, and I was like, oh my God, we are going to lose, and we did, but.
But yeah, it had been a bit like that, just sort of like seeing
Yeah.
all of a sudden Riley Bateson's
Oh yeah,
popped up
that's
for City, and it's like,
also I shout out, this is a very good graphic, the all-time Golden Boot graphic, also because they had to put all of Megan McElligott's clubs in that. Seven, she played
yes.
for seven different clubs in NPL Women's. That's it's a lot. Also shout out to Sophie Pearson, who's played for six
Persons.
different clubs. And then
What would the APL graphics team do with that? I would suggest that they would just put one of those clubs.
And it would be the club where she'd made the least appearances.
Yeah.
But also, the other interesting one I found, Kirsten Jamison being in 15th place on the all-time Golden Boot rankings for 67 goals, 61 of which were in the one season.
That's
That's
ridiculous.
what? It's a definitely a top and tailing right there, the top of the table and then the season record holder.
Oh.
There.
It kind of feels like I don't know how to, like money laundering, but with goals.
Yeah.
Like something illegal happened
It does feel like one of
to
those
make that happen.
famed African goals that you famed African games. Yeah, exactly.
And I
Oh.
bet they weren't playing like
We
three
need to
full
win
rounds
by
10 years ago either.
one goal. Oh, yeah, definitely
Goal,
not.
and the other team needs to win by one goal. We will score 32 goals against.
Literally, what was she doing? What were the defense of the other teams doing? What was anyone doing outside of her, which was scoring goals
Yes, and then,
every other minute?
and
But then,
then
you know, I need to go back and have a look, but I'm pretty sure. I wonder, maybe she, I don't know what team she did it with.
oh, I'm not, well, it's either Lions or that
Well, that's
other
what I'm
club.
saying. Like, surely it must have been Lions.
That
I
is
don't think
just
Olympic have
a
ever
bizarre
over.
number. Oh, yeah,
Like,
it's Lions.
yeah, anyway.
But
Absurd.
yeah, and also maybe that's why she
Although
only has
they did put the
60.
Olympic photo in.
Mm.
Oh. So I'll go back and have a look at the history books.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why she's only got 67
Squatty's up to date.
Yeah.
From 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, you'd have to go back to Game Day. Well, Game Day, the website that is like completely destroyed my sanity. So, yeah. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. Also, else bandwidth is
having
struggling, but go on.
Looked through Game Day and
have we lost Dale?
Yeah, no Dale.
Well, see Game Day. He said he was looking through Game Day, and his internet once again said, "Don't do that. Please don't do that." But,
that's fair.
But Dale, yeah, how you going?
Oh, yeah, good. I was just going to say, Game Day, having to look through things in different states, just awful. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But yes, you did watch at least a little bit of NPL New South Wales this weekend, Dale.
I did. And not just NPL New South Wales. I also watched some of the League One game of the week,
yes.
Which was very, very interesting. Mount Druitt Town versus Blacktown City from Poppendatta Park. Mm. Which also featured a dog and a child in the background playing with a ball, which is what we want to see.
Yep.
But yeah, Mount Druitt Town carving up in League One. They have a host of former Dub heavyweights, Rosie Galea, Lena Karmas, Caitlin Campbell, who used to play for the Rams.
And is New Zealand Youth International as well?
Yep, she's a decent player. They've got a couple of others there that I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, that was an interesting watch. I think they'll probably come up this year, depending on what the club championship looks like. Mm. But yeah, other than that, I did watch... What was the other game I watched? I definitely... Oh, I watched, yeah, Tigers... the Tigers game, which was an interesting watch. The weather in Sydney this week was... How do I put this? Biblical.
Yes.
So there were a few washouts this week, which is a bummer, but the games that were played on synthetic were all completed. And even then, watching that Tigers game, I just kind of felt sorry for everybody. We played a 9 o'clock kickoff and they played at 5, and it was absolutely chucking it down at Tarramurra. So
yes, it was.
Well done to whoever went out for that.
And no cover for the commentator or the camera operator. I've been there. I've literally been there. I've been dunked on three times at that venue as a commentator.
I did send a screenshot from that, which was probably the top third of the camera frame being covered by the cameraman's umbrella. So, look,
the little
we were
hood,
watching
the little hood that they put over it, just so
we were watching in 21:9. Yeah. It was like Interstellar, basically. We were watching it in extreme widescreen.
Got to get the job done in the rain at North Tarramurra somehow. Also, yes, as I said earlier, MacArthur Rams, many Dub players back, beat the league leaders Manly United. Oh, good to see Darcy Malone playing. I'm always happy when Darcy Malone's on the winning side, even if it is at the expense of my employers. Also, what the aforementioned stressful 1-1 draw between RPA and University of New South Wales. Chiara De Demizio's gone straight from Western United back to RPA and scored from an almost impossible angle to save a point for them. It was, good for the neutral, I suppose. Very frantic and stressful, but there's one thing folk at RPA Leichhardt know how to do. It's get stressed over a football game. And yes. Also, speaking of women, because we like talking about women in commentary, Melissa Muscat, who's done a good job with the League One women's commentary, the second tier so far. She called her first NPL game in the top tier. So that was Ravens 2, Spartans 1. So good on you, Melissa. And I think that's all that we've got left is Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week. Yes. All right. So, Emma, you can go first.
My coin of the week is simply Karakuni Cross, just for upsetting many by having the audacity to wear a Spurs scarf at the FA final. Many a boiled noggin was online for that. It was really good. It was very funny. That's it. My joker of the week, I'm just putting it in right now, is the Arsenal Football Club for letting Midima go on a free. So
now that I'm looking at that photo of Kyra, has anyone photoshopped the burning building?
Oh, who could? Dale,
great
shout. Are you good
I can
at this?
Make that happen.
Yes.
I think that needs to happen.
But yes, God, my queen and the greatest joker on earth.
And yes, by the way, my noggin, one of the ones that was bought by this photo, despite the fact that I have absolutely no skin in the game for the WSL, I just... Yeah. Also,
was it
Natalie?
Funny.
Yeah, yes. I'm glad I could amuse you.
Fun.
Yeah. And was it Natalie Brough who said, I'm imagining that that scarf is victory colors? Like you're thinking.
Good shout.
Yes.
Get out of it what you put in, I say.
Yeah. This also, I got one actually. Yeah. That's, I noticed the Football Victoria put an all women commentary team on the weekend for Mother's Day and the end of female football week. So shout out to Poco Frimprong, Katie Lambesky, Georgia Wright, the wonderfully named Han Solo. What a name.
Fantastic.
Melissa Barbieri and Laura Hughes. Good to see Laura getting involved with the commentary. Madge, you can go next.
Well, I'm sticking with the FA Cup and Ella Toon just running past a bunch of stationary football mannequins and absolutely leathering the ball into the top corner. It was a very nice strike, even though she had all the time in the world to set it up. But, the goalkeeper was not getting that one.
Yeah, and in the show notes, good on the Women's FA Cup Twitter account for uploading every angle of Ella Toon's goal. So that's well worth watching. Dale, who have you chosen?
I have a few Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week. My Thempera of the Week, the plural them, is everybody who went to the FA Cup final. Fantastic crowd. We love to see selling out Wembley. And my other Queen of the Week is Emma for the phrase boiled noggin. I think
can't claim it.
She can't.
I know.
Wasn't
using
me.
Using that context, I love it. And football mannequins, Madge, as well. I think either of those will probably end up being the title of this podcast. So fantastic job to the both of you.
Ooh, I'm not confident boiled noggins because that's something come up by Counter Press because one of them misremembered another phrase and they just don't run with it. Football mannequins. Interesting. The thought.
Make of that what you will. Yeah. I can only speak my truth.
Yeah.
And the joker of the week is my bandwidth.
That's going in.
Bears.
Yeah. Yes. I have passed on this most unwanted torch to you, Dale.
Blame the solar flares. I'm so sure it's.
Yeah, I blame the aurora. It's happening right here in this very room, exclusively.
Yes.
No, you cannot see it.
And then, that's right. My Queen of the Week is Ariana Maki from the Philippines under-17 team, who scored an Olympico goal direct from a corner against South Korea. And, we were so close to making the semifinals, but South Korea equalizer in the 74th minute meant the Philippines was eliminated on goal difference. That's big ouch for us. But yeah, video of that in the show notes because we love an Olympico, or in that case, it would be a Philippine Olympico. Anyway. I'm so
that's
proud of that as well.
Oh. Like to reconstitute my jokers of the week, please. One of your better efforts, Eric.
Thank you. Yes. So I put some.
No, I think that should be the
That could be the title.
The title.
Yes. Thank you.
That's right. The title.
I'll make it work. And by the way, I put that specific joke on my Instagram story. Guess who liked the story? Marissa Lordanik, of course. No.
A likely place for her to be.
Yes. Just.
Those Google alerts are getting sophisticated now.
Yeah, it's
like this. Variants.
Yeah. Must have had a long layover in Singapore or somewhere.
Yes. Anyway, that's enough silliness, but I think we actually did okay with the time this week. So, yep, that's it. Time to wrap it up. Okay. On behalf of Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Dale Roots, this is Eric Subihana signing off for episode 199 of the Beyond 90 podcast. Take care, have plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, and razzlers. If you're a mother, hope you got spoilt for Mother's Day, and may your set piece takers put one in direct from the corner flag. See you next time.